Good morning and welcome to the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. It's August 8th, 2019. I am Joanne Haig and I will be your host for today up until 1 p.m. Looking after all things technical is John Stout, our producer. He will be the first voice you hear when you're calling 434-1790. To send us a WhatsApp message, the number to send the WhatsApp message to is 266-4862, 266-4862. Please don't try to call the number because we don't take WhatsApp calls. You're just to send a message. I want to send a special greeting to Dennis Johnson. I've been given an instruction yesterday from a lady by the name of Sandra from St. Philip, I believe. It is Lashley's in St. Philip, I believe that's what it's called. And Sandra said she didn't realize that you were that mature. She thought you were a little bit younger. So Dennis Johnson, you do have a fan. So Sandra, kindly stay tuned to fireworks later today where you can hear your favorite person on VOB. Now, what's on my mind? Last week, Monday, when I sat in the chair for Mr. Ellis, I left here and I went to see a lady, a wonderful lady in the Cahill area. She is a dialysis patient. When I got there, needless to say, I was greeted with some chicken chow mein and some baked chicken, and it tasted lovely. I really can't forget the taste. I actually was a little sad that I wasn't able to take away some. I said all that to say this. This lady is a dialysis patient, and prior to getting dialysis, she was kind of getting down and very weak and not feeling to do anything, not feeling to eat. So, of course, imagine how happy I felt to see her actually in the kitchen gaining some weight. And might I add, again, it was chicken chow mein and it was excellent. But I said all that again to say this. She is on dialysis at home. Now, I am not sure if you are aware that the Queen Elizabeth Hospital offers dialysis at home. The something called peritoneal dialysis is a treatment that uses the lining of your abdomen called the peritoneum and a cleaning solution called the dialysate, or should I say it, these big words are all medical, but it's to clean your blood. And the dialysate absorbs waste and fluid from your blood using the peritoneum as a filter. So it's not the hemodialysis that you have to do at the hospital. Of course, you have to tick off all the boxes if you qualify to do it at home. For example, if you have some person with you, a partner that is trained, that can assist you with the dialysis, and if the doctors feel that you can manage this at home. I want to repeat, this is a free service from the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. The machine looks like the size of a desk printer. All of the packages that you need to use, all of that is free. Let me repeat, free. So when we argue about paying taxes that would go to healthcare, I'm saying to corporate Barbados right now, I'm hoping that you would be happy to maybe even donate some of these machines, and to the public who are obviously we all have to pay taxes that we don't like to. The Queen Elizabeth Hospital is an entity that really needs your support, and to be able to function after getting dialysis, I can't tell you how hard. I've never been in it. God forbid if I'm there. Who knows? But this lady is doing fantastic. And on another note, Sunday, I dropped home another old lady who is having kidney problems. She's not on dialysis. And I must say that when I dropped her home, I looked in the rearview mirror. And if she's listening, I cried because I saw how weak she was and how frail she's looking. And I want to say to her this morning, don't fear. Dialysis is going to be here for you soon. If the doctor so orders, I believe that they may be looking at giving her dialysis. But and I just wanted her to know that her life can turn around with this treatment. And again, kudos to the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, all of the doctors, all of the nurses, the board, the chairperson. I know you get a rough time, but you know, when good is done, we always have to put the good on the table. So I just wanted to share that with all of you this morning. Kudos again. And if we can support the dialysis patients, by maybe donating these machines. I understand they're not that costly. Of course, they cost money, but they're not into the millions of dollars for one. I believe a couple thousand dollars, and I think the liquids are probably going to be the where the bigger costs may lie to replenish and put the liquids there. But I think it's something that it is worth looking at and an effort that we all should make in supporting the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. You are on the air.
Hello. Good morning, Miss Ed.
Good morning.
Yeah, a couple of things here. The first has to do with I was listening to a program, and they were talking about bringing around 70,000 people for this 2020 vision in Barbados next year.
Regathering.
Yeah.
Yes.
I wanted to say something. These people would be living in America, England, and in Europe. Barbians that will spend a long time living overseas.
Yes.
And there are some Barbians who were there for a long time who I don't think will be coming home because some of them are not, they don't have the card. Some, again, it will be financial. Some are not working. I wonder which group are they looking at, really, the group that they want to get to return to Barbados, and how are they going to get these people come here?
Well, first of all, I don't know if you remember that the Prime Minister did a number of town hall meetings in Canada, in the U.S., speaking to members of the diaspora about coming home and investing in Barbados, and there's going to be a whole year of activity, various activities from January all the way down to December. And looking at social media, I can tell you I see a lot of Barbadians buying into the concept. I think it's an excellent concept and a way to inject some money into the economy to help people who are living here. If you can get Barbadians living overseas to start to invest in back home, there's nothing wrong with that. Now, I'm not going to sit here and go like, well, people can't afford, and, you know, because that's looking at the glass as half empty. Let's look at it as half full and hope that those who can afford come, and those who can't afford maybe lend their support in some other way.
But the other question I will ask you, invest in what? We are always using this term, Barbados should come back and invest, but invest in what? What is there that you are advertising for the Barbados?
Well, put it this way. If you buy a home, for example, that's an investment into Barbados, because then the construction companies and the people who sell building materials will benefit from that. Of course, then there are people who would be in work. You may want to open up a restaurant. Just spending your money here for 2 weeks in stores and the supermarkets is also a cash injection into the foreign reserves. So I'm not quite sure where you're coming from, but as far as the benefits. I can see the benefits. I can't really see the negatives and asking people, hey, we're gathering, come home, come and enjoy Barbados, and come and see whether or not there's anything you want to do to invest in your home country.
They said there were times they gave in Barbadians that were living in the UK or living in America came here. Mm-hmm. They bought homes here. And if the husband or the wife died, they go back to England. And a lot of the, especially in Philip, a lot of these returning nationals do sell their home and go back over because they complain about the goods in Barbados are very expensive. The medical costs is very expensive. So a lot of returning nationals who have built homes here have sold their homes. So I don't know how are you going to get these people to come to Barbados to buy a home any day. Your children might not even want to live here.
Well, they will still have a holiday home. You see, if you're looking at people just packing it all in and leaving, and I'm saying to you that, yes, back in the 60s, 50s, a lot of Barbadians...
Not 60s. Yesterday, they are there in the 90s and the 60s, all up in St. Philip, a lot of return nationals came in here, so they sold their home and went back overseas. Because the company.
Well, a lot of people are still leaving now. Some people are leaving for work. But it doesn't mean that they're not sending back home money. It doesn't mean that they're not going to come back for a holiday. It doesn't mean that they're not going to invest in their own country. So I really don't have any proof to support at this stage who's not coming. You know, I think we'd have to wait and see. And see how many people gather for 2020. And then we do our analysis in 2021.
Yeah, don't forget, we are Carifesta here. We were supposed to have this explosion of people coming for the vaccine island. And you know what happened to that? That was not a complete failure because of the small business people that would have see the investors from overseas who might get some little job here or there for them. Mm-hmm. But the overhead result of that Carifesta was a total failure.
Well, again,
I tell you something now. Mm-hmm. Whether you believe it or not, you like to look at the positive, but there's the positive and negative. But I don't see
I like to be realistic. I'm not saying there's not negative in everything. Of course there is. But if you're going to, I can't say that the bad is going to outweigh the good for something that has not taken place as yet. So I would have to wait and see. But based on what I know about it and based on my skills as a marketing person, I think it's a very good idea to get people all excited to come back home. I think it's a fantastic idea. Actually, there are two things I want to mention that I am impressed with this government is the 2020 We Gathering and Ross University. I thought Ross University was a boss move.
Let me correct you. Mm-hmm. Ross University only came to Barbados due to the fact of what happened in Dominica. If that hurricane had never struck Dominica, Ross would not be here. So don't talk about that.
No. But hear your logic. It only came because the mere fact... But hold on a minute. Hold on. But fine. Okay. And which unfortunate circumstances for our sister country, Dominica. But let me just say this. They're here. But they're here. So I'm not... that's that kind of negative approach, in my opinion. Okay, something great has happened for Barbados in terms of Ross. I believe that. It was unfortunate for Dominica due to circumstances way beyond their control, a natural disaster. They could not, obviously, Ross couldn't stay. But Barbados then, jumped in. And it may not have been Barbados that jumped in. We don't know. Ross could have gone anywhere else. But they came to Barbados. And I think, 10 points to the Prime Minister for pulling it off.
Yeah, because what they came in and saw when they first came here was we had good infrastructure, technology was there, telecommunication, and that mm-hmm. was looking at. And we had once you got good infrastructures and that sort of thing, they're really impressed with that. But Ross University would not be an example to draw. We have another university here.
That's my example.
I would draw to that.
Okay.
We have another university here, which is American University, which was here for quite a while. There might be other risks coming. Now, my last point has to do with crop over. I would like to ask, Dennis, is there?
Not in the studio. He's not producing today.
Okay.
He's on fireworks, and then maybe you might want to leave that comment for fireworks because...
No, I can leave this too for the CEO of the National Culture Foundation, okay. Mr. Roberts. I would like to ask Cameron Tambor, people about this. How many people attended the finals? No, I was not there. I hear it was a good crowd. Mm-hmm. But yet, a journalist who worked out there, I overheard him telling Colette not too long ago, that it was a handful of people at Kensington Oval, and they want to know why they continue to keep the finals at Kensington Oval, but they know they cannot fill up Kensington Oval, and why not try to get the stadium repaired and carry back the stadium?
Okay.
Well, you have a bigger crowd than having a handful of people out there, and then you get on the radio so that you got a big crowd out there. But I would like her to tell me the amount of people that attended that festival.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your contribution. Thank you. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Not a bad call of last time around. He pretty good. Governments are not particularly known for reporting figures and success or other ways. He spoke about it. Just let me add a little bit to what he said mm-hmm. before I'm going to be on and off pretty quick. But we had this 50th anniversary thing a couple of years ago as well. A lot of Bajans came back for that.
Mm-hmm.
And tell you the truth, I met a whole bunch of them, but they're really not really spenders. They came, but they went to a couple of shows and they went back. You saw fish people and stuff. So what he's saying is that Barbados needs a proper development program that requires, that involves whoever is available in Barbados to help be part of that development program. This thing about inviting people to come back and spend some money and go back and invest some money in their house and stuff. I mean, when you got a bunch of lawyers on the boat, they say, come back to Barbados too, who's going to trust them? But that's not a matter. But seriously, who really going? They know that when they put money here, they're going to have difficulty. They always had difficulty with the fraternity in Barbados. And it's very, very difficult to have one of the fraternity go out there and beg them to bring money back home. It's not going to work. I'm very sorry. But, as you say, be positive about these things. It is not a national development program. It cannot be part of a national development program. It's just one of those play-by-night kind of knee-jerk reactions. 2020 sound good. Let's bring people back home. So, down the road, let's be positive, as you say. You get along with the positive
well,
thing.
If I'm still here on God's earth in 2021, maybe we can then have that discussion as to if it went well or not.
Right.
Think it's positive. It's not a bad move. And I'm not saying that things can't go wrong. And yes, it could fail. We don't know.
We've been there so many times. 2007, all kind of consultants make big money. This thing will take off and people should expand the houses and all kind of thing. 2007 was a complete and total disaster.
Do you know that if we had looked at life every time you wanted to try something and always look back and say this fail, that fail? But maybe
same people doing the same
not
thing
really.
Over and over
well, not
again.
Really. That's the definition of insanity, yes.
Thank you very much.
Right?
Thank you very
much.
So you go along and be the positive kind of stuff.
I will be, and I hope you will be too. Thank you very much.
Hey,
here's a question. Okay, go ahead. We do have to take a break soon, but tell me. Go ahead.
No. Okay, the thing about reparations. Because the guy, I was just trying to add on to what that guy had said before. Mm-hmm. Reparations. When you had the slavery finished closing at 1833, I think. 1835, to pay back all the slave owners, at least in Barbados, Jamaican, Caribbean. And they pay back the money in Ceylon or South Africa. And they paid back the slave owners. The way governments operate, we fashion our government in some way off of the British government, is that you change from Labour and back to Conservative and back to Labour and back and forth, and they keep secrets away from the public. Now, they borrowed, £15 million back in 1835 to pay back these slave owners for their loss of property. It's equivalent, billions of dollars, I think, some couple hundred billions of dollars in today's money. Pounds. And that debt that they had borrowed to pay back the slave owners was only completed in 2015, about 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. 2015. Taxpayers have been paying, including of African descent, were paying taxes to the British government for a loan that was taken out to pay back slave owners. Mm-hmm. And nobody really knew about it. It was leaked out. And that was finally cleared in 2015. But yet, we got reparations now that are still due now to the people who themselves were slaves. And the descendants of them, what are they going to get? So we're talking about Mr. Beckles as the one who's leading this charge. Mm-hmm. We need to pay back these people for the suffering that has been taking place, has been inflicted on them all of these years. That's fine. That is fine. I think reparations should be paid. And if it's at least the same, if it's $200 billion, they pay the slave owners, pay the same $200 billion to the descendants.
No, it's not even billions. It's going into the trillions, actually.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be trillions. But let us be practical and say within the government can pay the money $1 trillion in a hurry. So let us say there will be paying, because some money has been paid already. But I ain't see it. You ain't see it. But let us say the British government decided they're going to pay back $300 billion to all the... They only got about 500, 5 million. They only got 5 million West Indian people. And let's assume that everybody got percentage black in them. Even the way people come forward and say, I'm West Indian, they got black in me. They can say that they do. They have 5% black. So they are entitled to something. Let us say the British government decided to pay back these reparations, all $500 billion as a conservative estimate. Mm-hmm. Now, Mr. Beckles is the one leading the charge. Where are you going to put that money? I can tell you where you're not going to put it. Because apparently the six, to pay back some money from university, paid some money to the University of West Indies to do research. Research on what? Sickle cell disease? Huh? Where are you going to put the money? Who is going to accept the money? Are you going to give it to politicians and say, well, you take this money, Jamaica, Antigua, Trinidad, Tobago, Barbados, and this. When they could take, we could spend that money, various governments, to spend it on infrastructural development, like the same machines that you want, which is probably a good idea, but you're going to trust that money in the hands of these people to spend it correctly? Who's going to receive this money? Let me tell you what you want. Because truth be told, one idea would be to give it so that every country that has suffered from slavery would have a properly working safety net independent of the various governments that nobody can really starve in them countries. Or, you can't fall below a certain level. At least you will more or less ensure the lives of people born into these particular countries. That would be nice if you had a way to get around the politicians to make sure that particular set of funding can work in that area. But barring that, if you pay back reparations, I want my money. I want me. I want you to give me mine. Yeah. I know about you. You may not want yours, but I want mine. Because if everybody's entitled, let me say to £500 million, everybody, and saying that I am probably 10% black, you know, because look at me, it's a very white. So I want 10% of that £500 million. I want of that.
Anti-America. I'm going to have to
to give it to University West. You will be completely irresponsible. Mr. Beckers is leading that charge because I know what you want
to
do with it.
I understand. We do have a full board and a lot of WhatsApp messages in a short day. So I'm going to ask you to call us back maybe later on in the week and continue your contribution. And thank you very much for calling. Welcome back. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Hicks.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I am well, and you?
I'm bad, because to be honest, I can't sit and watch my television and see the atrocities that are being happened to people in America. And this morning I sat and watched my television and water came over my eyes to see what's happening in the land of the free.
Okay,
where people are being wronged.
There are a number of things happening in America. You want to specify, is it the mass shootings you're talking about? Is it
shootings and the roundup of 680 Mexicans or Africans or whoever it is? And children now got to go to school without parents. So how can a country, in my opinion, do those sort of things to people?
Well, it's not the country. It's the system and who people put in charge.
I would never go to America again as long as I live. I've been there 3 times. I would never go back there under this present regime.
I believe a lot of people share your sentiments, sir.
To be honest, it really hurts. I mean, Bobby, just keeping all noise about this and that. And people getting treated like dogs in America. Let's say thanks for your time, because you don't like the law type of program.
No, that's all right. And I share your sentiments with you. It pains me too, as well, and a lot of people, to see what is happening to people of various races in America right now. Thank you so much for your call. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, John.
Good morning. How are you?
After what I heard that smoke, man, that gentleman, I can't feel good. But, you know, these things will continue to happen until such time that people decide they're going to come together. You know, as I have always said, and probably will continue to say, as long as we're divided, if you see a car, you see the car red, I see in it blue, we can quarrel, we can cuss, we may fight, we might kill one another, but if you say in the car red and I say in it red, there's nothing to argue about. And I've already heard it, that's not, I tell myself, this world is cloaked in evil. It is cloaked in evil. And for some reason, this evilness is allowed to continue for some reason. And the same way can say, the same way the man on the street can say, don't tell me my boys can't see what's going on. Politicians are the ones who create the system. And they create the system for their to benefit before any regard for human life. They make no apologies for that. It may not be as bad or as big as it is here in America as it is here. But it happens, and every man's life is important. You know, I hate to see people suffering. I don't like it. Yesterday, I had an encounter and an experience. The first time I ever saw counterfeit money, or at least knowingly saw counterfeit money, was in a drugstore since yesterday. And I heard a guy came on the radio, gentleman, and he praised a transport board driver.
Yes, I heard that.
I can say to him, because there are a lot of them that are very, very nice. Right? But I want to pour scorn on a PSV driver today. I'm not saying that all PSV workers are bad. I want to make that clear. If that cashier was not vigilant, somebody would have had that $25 million. And as I speak to you now, probably somebody has it all in now. When she pointed out, and he had it stacked within the center of all the money, it wasn't on the outside, it was in the center. When she mentioned to him that it's counterfeit, his response was, I realized that too. Rich suggests that he knew that he was passing on a counterfeit $20. When he went through the door, I asked her, he's worked for you, isn't he? She said, yeah. By the time I got to the door to see what he was writing, he had gone. Because had I gotten that number, I would have known he is, and I would have passed it on the information to the police. That was so dishonest. Yes, it would have been hard for him to find out who he got it from, having dealing with so many people throughout the course of the day. But the least he could have done is to have destroyed that $20. And to see him put it back among the bills that he had intentions of passing it on to somebody else. I only hope, and don't criticize me for saying this, I hope to whoever he passed it on to, because he knew the word too. When he said he realized that too, he knew. And the fact they had it stuck in the center of that money shows that he knew what he was doing.
Well, just remember what goes around comes around, so.
Yeah, but sometimes it takes a little while and a lot of people suffer before it comes back. And if you could avoid that, another person suffering by that person's deed, bring it down to size. I'm going to go on no further.
They've got a lot of callers. Thank you so much, Mr. P. Thank you so much for calling, as always. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Peace be on to you and yours, Mom.
And to you and yours.
All the family, everybody good?
Yes. What about yours? Everybody good too?
Yes, except me.
Okay. Well, what's on your mind this morning?
Well, many things. Still waiting to get the mayor fixed here that I could get clean water.
Anyhow, this is my friend from Bank Hall.
Yes, please. Oh, you remember my voice? Mm-hmm. I want to get in touch with you, though. I have something serious to ask.
I think you know how to call.
I tried, but I didn't get you.
Okay.
I didn't get you, so I don't know if you could. When I finish talking, you could put me back to you and let me leave my number.
Yeah. Do that.
Because I really want to talk to you about something.
That's all right.
I heard you speak about the hospital and the dialysis machine. I am very, very, very glad because I had a few friends. One, she passed away earlier this year. Mm-hmm. She was a nurse, and I used to feel for her. And her daughter, because the daughter had to leave work to take her when she had to go. I think it used to be twice a week.
So, and they had to actually go to the hospital. Now, depending on, well, as I said, you have to go through sort of like a questionnaire. It's more like a checkbox to say, well, okay, do you have people at home that can help you?
That may help.
And can you manage this at home? So it takes away from the strain at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital.
I just have to go to the hospital and I leave early because I like to be on time. When 6 o'clock, I out there sitting on the bench to that door open and I see a lot of people. And sometimes when I come in from my clinic, a lot of dialysis people still out there because I feel that they should find some place over in one of those buildings that abandoned clean it up and made a thing just for the dialysis people because they'll be there sitting down in the corner waiting to go in. And I hope that Mr. Bosick or somebody in Ministry of Health listening and somebody. But listen, as the people say, a lot of people here in this country got money laying down. Contribute to health because the health of all people, you need workforce. Mm-hmm. And the health of the people, if you got good health system, the people will be able to work. I am glad and I hope that we have a lot of people down here, a lot of Belgians and maybe visitors too, that I hope that somebody will come aboard and help contribute to
these machines
for the dialysis.
Yeah.
And let me tell somebody, there's something that really needed my thing. The little money that I had put down that to bring myself. There's a lot of tests I can get done at the hospital and the doctor fees and things. All my money, you can see, are gone. And I would like somebody to help us with the MRI machine at the hospital, the mammogram. They don't have. I don't take the machine. Must be Osley and other machines. Somebody come aboard and help the hospital because a lot of people lose the job. They ain't getting the money. Some people check get take away and they gotta look for money to pay. You can't go up in Belvin and there other places and go without money. No, you can't trust. And the hospital need help. Help.
Well, I know there are a lot of good people who do contribute to the hospital, a lot of groups. But
need,
again,
need
you need more.
I
think that these machines, for sure, would help a lot with the kidney patients as well as the... I do understand that we are doing some kidney transplants in Barbados too, which also leads me to another topic. There are a lot of people who pass away early, unfortunately. But do we have people that actually say, I am an organ donor, like they have in the States where you have it on your driver's license in case you die in an accident or you go, you bury a human being. Yes, unfortunately, they're gone. But then they have healthy organs that can be utilized to save a life. One such organ
is
a kidney.
I was thinking about that yesterday.
And, I do believe that we're doing that. As I see here, of course, Dr. Bell, kudos to her being a big part of the whole process with the kidney and dialysis program. But I do understand, I'm going to pull it up here shortly to get the exact specifics of the kidney transplants. But I do know that we're moving in that direction, or we have moved in that direction. But of course, yes, your family can donate a kidney, but what about all of the other organs of persons who passed away early in life? Can their life still mean something in terms of maybe donating a kidney after they go? And I believe that is a discussion that we need to have at the QEH, the public. Where do we go with the transplants? And how do we know if you're going to be an organ donor? Is it going to be on your ID card? So somebody needs to know, because obviously you just can't take a person's organs like that. It's illegal. You have to be able to say yes. But we do have, again, boards just flashing like crazy. Thank you very much for your contribution, as always.